Chairperson, we are aware that SAPS has appointed General Jafta to investigate the misconduct against all these players. So far, what we are aware is that General Ramukhosi has been suspended also as a result of that investigation. In relation to others, we're not aware of any action that have been taken so far.
When was Jafta appointed?
General Jafta was appointed after we've made recommendation on General Pahlane. And then,
so how long ago was that? You started Pahlane in 2016?
I think it's almost 2 years.
Has there been any action against Brigadier Ramatoka and Brigadier Matt that you're aware of?
No, well, not aware of.
Okay, I'm trying to make this quick. So, to summarize, Jay, 2 years ago, the flag was raised relating to Pahlane, Keating, et al. And 2 years later, we have a legal matter, a criminal matter proceeding against Pahlane. But other than that, we've got two officers on an extended holiday, and all the other role players, absolutely nothing has happened. Can that be the summary of what you're saying this morning? I'm talking about, yes, investigations, you've already done that, we've done it. I'm talking about actual action, that they received a notice of intention to conduct a disciplinary inquiry, as far as you're aware.
As I've indicated, Chairperson, we're not aware of any action being taken, but we are aware that there is an investigation that is being conducted by General Jafta against all these players.
Which has been carrying on
internal
2 years.
Investigation.
Carrying on 2 years.
It's been going on since we started with Pahlane.
So the record will reflect that after 2 years, we've got a matter proceeding against Pahlane, two officers on extended holiday and nothing else. And we wonder why we're not a capable state. Okay, let's move on then just to some other queries I have for you. It's the oldest trick in the book when you're trying to close down an investigation, is for Treasury or others to say, sorry, there's no funding. Oldest trick in the book, because who doesn't want to save a couple of bucks? All right? Do you feel that's how you're being treated? The moment you get close to something, funding gets pulled. Is that your experience?
Chairperson, as IPED, we've been raising the issue of our funding since we were established as IPED, because it's very inadequate to do the work that we do.
Okay, so who's blocking you? Is it Treasury? Is it the SAPS? Who is the person standing, or the persons standing in the way of you getting the budget you need? Who is the person at the meeting that says, no, you can't have that?
Chairperson, I can't say who is the person.
All
what I can say is that we've made our submission to get additional funding, and we've not been getting that funding except for the 50 million that we received from the SAPS budget for this financial year, which will go through MTF period.
Does your budget come from the SAPS?
No, we get our appropriation directly from where a vote is.
You're a vote?
Yes.
Correct. Right. So that was my question. So, you see, the thing is, we have budget votes in this country, and there's an appropriations process, and there's a fiscus, and people need to decide who gets what. So my point is, where do you lay the blame to the fact that you're not properly resourced to complete these investigations? Because how can we come even close to ridding our society of corruption if we don't have the proper resourcing of... who? This doesn't just happen. It's not the Easter Bunny. You must know. You must have an idea of who's blocking you.
Chairperson, when we make our submission for budget, we make them to Treasury. And we will motivate, and there are other criminal justice cluster department who will do the same. I think in my experience in that process is that there's always been an issue that the government as a whole does not have money and so forth. That's what has been raised. In fact, at our last engagement, we indicated that there's a possibility that we can we will also get budget cuts because of the fiscal situation in the country. So our submissions are made to Treasury for funding, and I know there are processes that are followed after Treasury that also get at a cabinet level to decide on funding of departments.
So effectively, there you have it. At cabinet level, it's decided whether or not you get the funding you want, because Treasury surely are a vessel. Anyway, let's move on. Now, during the time when yourself, I believe, and many other members of IFED, including Mr. McBride, were involved in court proceedings, stroke suspended and all that, there was a unit from the Crime Intelligence that took over IFED. Am I correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
It wasn't an acting person, one of the existing IFED people. Crime Intelligence came in.
Well, the acting head was from IFED, but there were members of Crime Intelligence who were appointed in our environment during our absence.
Right. And what sort of damage did they do while they were there?
First of all, the issue of the Pathan investigation was reported in our absence in March of 2016. One of those people was from Crime Intelligence, Mr. Khomo, who incidentally is the one who approached our investigator, Mr. Masangu.
With due respect to Honorable Chim, I want to know where are we going? That's not part of the report that has been provided. What do we want to achieve around this particular direction? Because, I mean, there's a report and now it's digging, it's going back to issues that are not relevant to the report. Or we leave it to a team and withdraw. So I don't understand where we're going.
All right. That's fine. I almost raised that point.
Gee, I certainly won't withdraw. But I'll move on to something else. I think the issue has been raised and we can discuss offline. And obviously sensitivity is interesting. Russ, what I can ask you about...
I'm a member of this committee. I'm not being sensitive.
All right.
But I'm following the procedures. And
no, it's fine. It's fine. I think... Let's move to the next point.
Chair, the objection is noted, but also, Honourable Boy will also understand, sometimes you build to a question. We have a unique style at Scopa. And when you're trying to build momentum towards a particular situation, which may well be very relevant to Scopa, and colleagues are interrupting you, it's a bit disheartening. And I certainly would never do it to Honourable Boy. But anyway, that's besides the point. One of the issues that you've raised again and again and again here, which is an issue of great concern to us because it does relate to Scopa and it relates to the investigation that you're trying to do into public account-related matters, is the issue of declassification. I would just like to ask two questions. The first question is how many times have you written to General Sotoli? And yeah, let's just go General Story, asking for declassification of documents. And the second question is who is standing in your way in terms of the declassification of the documents you need to conduct these investigations? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think members will remember when you were here. I remember vividly Honourable Member Boy ask pertinently to General Sotoli, when can you provide IPT with documentation so that they can conclude these investigations as they relate to CI? The response from General Sithole was that within 14 days, that will happen. Now, we wrote then, when we saw 14 days came and gone, and then we don't receive the documents, as per the promise here at this committee. Then we wrote to indicate that we have not received the document, can they comply as per the promise. The response we received was then now that no, they are unable to accede to our request because this is the matter that must be referred to the Standing Committee on Intelligence. And that is the committee that must decide whether the documents should be provided to us, declassified. We also have a correspondence from the Inspector General of Intelligence, who advises that these documents are not of national security nature. It's purely documents relating to procurement, and they can be made available. There's no reason why they cannot be declassified. And that still did not happen. Hence, we went through the 205 route to now force them to present the document to us, and then they challenged us to court. In terms of our understanding of the declassification processes, the person who classifies the document is the one who can declassify, or the head of the institution. In this instance, it will be General Sithole who can declassify. And in all these instances, we've hit a brick wall. So we think now our salvation will be with the courts, who will then make a determination on declassifying these documents.
In the court matters so far with the 205, have any sound reasons been advanced in defense of the Section 205? Sound reasons. And I'm talking about the documents now pertaining to procurement, okay? So that we keep everybody happy that we still in scope stuff. Other than what seems, the reasonable inference seems to be is that there's protection going on. That individuals are being protected, and that's why documents are not being classified. That would be the reasonable inference. Have you seen arguments in the court matters you're involved in that are outside of that reasonable inference, that are presenting decent reasons why this information should not be revealed?
Well, no. I suppose the fact that it is gone to court and they are defending. They obviously believe they have good reasons. Well, he has said that he believes that they will win in court. I'm just saying it will be a subjective response to your question. It will merely confirm that as far as we're concerned, there is nothing sound. If there was anything sound, then they would not go to court, I suppose.
Chair, the reason I raise the issue is that we have not had sight of the court papers. So I'm asking whether or not Mr. Sizoku can share with us what the other side is saying. If he cannot, that's fine. But because we all sat in the same room. Honorable Boy asked a question, I asked a question to General Sithole, when are you going to declassify? 14 days. I think that was about a year ago. So it's certainly many, many, many months. Nothing's happened. So surely the reasonable inference you could draw from that is that somebody's trying to protect somebody. I'm wondering whether there is not some other excuse being advanced. If you'd rather not answer, I'm fine with that. But I just need to make it clear, certainly from the point of view of this honourable member looking like a protection racket. Anyway, my colleagues are getting upset, so I'll stop.
And then let me assist you, Tim. If this was directed to General Sithole, I think the correct procedure from my side would have to be to direct that question to General Sithole, because it was discussed in the meeting and he gave us an undertaking that he would declassify that information or he would meet with IPED. And I remember the decision of the meeting was they will have to meet with IPED and discuss the issue of the declassification. Maybe what we need to do, we need to get General Sithole, that is, to give us feedback, that is, in terms of that meeting.
All right. Yeah, no, sure. I was just saying, in their presentation, they say they're sure they will win, and can only win because the other side does not have strong. So any response will merely be a reputation. Sure. Comrade Chilwane, and then Comrade Boy, and then Comrade Kuno.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. I just think that in terms of this report, most of my questions, Chairperson, I don't know if maybe it was going to be better if General Sithole was here. Because when you check on this report, it's a worrying factor, especially to note that so many mismanagement of funds and corrupt activities happen in SAPS under the auspices or under the watch of the commissioner, like as I'm saying. And it will be really, for me, it will be a problem really to ask IPIC some of the questions that I want to ask, because the commissioner will be the right person. But maybe let me just check this one on IPIC. I remember that when we had a meeting last with the commissioner and IPTA, there was an issue of lifestyle audit that was raised in the meeting, and the issue of vetting, especially in the procurement area.
Chair, on a point of order, can ask those people from IP to withdraw from the table. If they're going to behave in this way, they're not going to come back to this meeting. Was she supposed to be sitting there and she's busy whispering with the GA there?
I'm sure that
is going to be the conduct. Let us be told. Can do the same.
No, it's fine. I think she's having
tea. No, she can't be doing that to
me. No, she's having tea. Continue, comrade.
Yes, Chair, I wanted to check. Do you know anything that has happened in terms of lifestyle audit and vetting, both in the IPIT and in the SAPS mainly? I'm raising this generally because this monies that have been mentioned, it's such a huge monies, and also in terms of your own investigations, if really we're going to yield any results, seeing the fact that some of them they still relate with the NPA, for them to decide if you can continue. I think that's question number one, Chairperson. And question.
Why don't they respond to it? But I would say maybe let them talk to the IPIT side. Because remember, General Sithole still owes us a report of their own investigation on this matter. Which, when we called CETA last week, we decided, no, let's have the police on a separate day so that they can report to us. I think when they report, we can then go into such detail. On your side, vetting, lifestyle audit.
Thank you, Chairperson. With IPED, our vetting is done by State Security Agency. So all our officials undergo vetting. So what happens is at the time of appointment, you do State Security will do pre-employment screening, which then enables us to decide whether we can employ a person or not. And then after that, then a full vetting is done, which will then, depending on the role of the person in the organization, it will be decided whether that person should be vetted at top secret or secret or confidential, depending on their role in the department. I must hasten, however, to indicate that there's a backlog in terms of vetting with regard to state security. So sometimes it takes a bit longer to get our people vetted from the state security.
My second question, Chair, I think it will be the last one. Like I said earlier, that I think most of the issues will be fine if we raise them with the general. I think in terms of this report, in my own assessment. On the issues of the IPED investigators that you mentioned, one who was approached in terms of to be corrupted, how many do you have that maybe they've crossed the border to sub-border, like in a sense that they went to work with, who have been recruited by subs, or those that have been corrupted in a form of a way? I think the issue that you have raised of Mr. Mahlangu, I don't think all of them will come to you to say, this is the report that I have. How many cases do you have of such related in that manner?
So far, we are aware, Honourable Chairperson, of two. One, as I've indicated, Mr. Ngabinde, is on suspension. The other one is not in the investigation environment; is actually in our vetting environment. So those are the only two that we are aware of. Mr. Mahlangu came forward, as I've indicated.
I believe there's a legislation in front of Parliament on IP. And it's supposed to be processed in Parliament. So most of your concerns that you are expressing to us have not been given to the process. Or what have you done? Because you can't run parallel processes. And SCOPA doesn't deal with these issues. Legislation is done by the Portfolio Committee. And it seems as if in front of the Portfolio Committee, IP is doing legislation. What just happened to that? Have you not used that opportunity to raise your concerns?
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I ask our head of legal to deal with that question, because he's responsible for that?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, the honourable member is correct that the amendment of the IPED bill was a matter that had been ordered by the Constitutional Court in the McBride matter, where the legislature was given 24 months to amend the Act. Now, IPED, together with the Civilian Secretariat of Police, worked on the amendments on the Act and presented them to the previous minister in December last year. But early this year, the Portfolio Committee on Police decided that they're only going to do what is called a committee bill, where they're only going to deal with the amendments that had been ordered by the Constitutional Court, because what the team between Civilian Secretariat and IPED had done was that we had looked at all the defects in the IPED Act, and we wanted the amendments to deal with all the defects that we had found in the Act. Now, with the committee bill, it is such that they've only taken those amendments that were ordered by the Constitutional Court, which means the other, for instance, the counter-investigation that Mr. Sisoko mentioned will not be dealt with in the committee bill. Several other defects that we have noted will not be dealt with in the committee bill. What IPED will then need to do, we would have to start a fresh process of amending the IPED Act.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it means that your concerns are expressed in the Portfolio Committee, or have you not been able to raise them with them?
Thank you, Chair. when the process of amending the IPED Act did commence, we did indicate that the Civilian Secretariat on Police and also the IPED team had dealt with the amendment of the whole process. But I think, of the whole piece of legislation. But I think the concern on the Portfolio Committee on Police was based on the fact that they needed to meet the deadline, which is actually tomorrow, the 5th of September, to have cured the defects in the Act.
Is the mic on?
I just want to ride on your point. Given that we as COFA would want to have a relationship where we deal with corruption together with you, what legalities do you think are prohibiting that relationship, or what legalities are needed to be able to indulge you quite extensively on the fight against corruption? I'll indicate to you that I've engaged quite a lot of departments in the security cluster, even the intelligence, to solicit that type of a relationship. What do you think should happen between ourselves and yourselves?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would say that the process that we are involved in currently, coming before SCOPA and indicating our concerns and whatever loopholes that we encounter when it comes to our investigations, the fact that the whole Keith Keating Pahlane investigations were brought to the fore here in SCOPA assists us to be able to do our job. We've indicated that we've found that our legislation has loopholes. If it is orders, if there are orders that come from the Constitutional Court and orders that come from institutions such like this, indicating that the piece of legislation that enables us to do our work must be amended, and how it must be amended, it assists us in being able to do our job. Us being able to come here and indicate what hamstrings us in us being able to carry out our mandate does assist us to carry out the job that we're able to carry out, we're supposed to. Thank you.
No, thank you for that background, you see, because it's a concern, you see, because SCOPA is supposed to deal with fiduciary duties, you see, and Tim's question was correct, that we're dealing with money issues. But given the fact that there's not much in terms of legislation and how we deal with corruption, it's something that we need to think through and make suggestions to SCOPA, maybe so that we can be able to raise this matter. Because, you see, we might end up in the Constitutional Court ourselves, dragging Parliament to there, because other committees and other departments feel that we're transgressing in the manner we're handling this matter. And until we clarify this issue, the relationship would be sound. But if we don't get there, we'll be dragged by the courts and be told that we're interfering. Because my understanding is quite clear, because I drafted the IP legislation, and I know where I'm standing on it. I know where the police legislation is standing, and I know where CITA is standing. And the more you cross the line, the more you're going to get into trouble. Because IPED is not a SCOPA responsibility. It belongs to the police. And that's the question I'm trying to bring in, that it's more sensible that we talk to this issue and be open about it than trying to get more deeper into the matters that are related to the police and IPED, which are not the prerogative of SCOPA. That's why I'm asking. I know corruption is a very complex problem, and we have been trying in soliciting, even dealing with state security, to say, how do you assist us to fight corruption? But it's complex. There's no law that guides us to be able to get into inviting more other departments to come and talk to us about corruption. So it's something that we must apply our mind on, that how do we want to continue strengthening the relation? Because our relationship more should be to assist you to get the money. But as you are saying, it's this new phenomenon of what happened with FTA and within CETA and within the police. If we need each other, we need to be able to clarify that matter. And it's in the interest of the chair to talk to the speaker to deal with this matter openly. We started because there was an incident, but it's in our interest to be protected by law. Rather than transgressing the law, we need to be able to say, this is what is guiding this type of relationship. And we don't have that guide at this particular moment. And we can drag and drag, but one day for sure, somebody is going to take us to the Constitutional Court and won't be able to defend Parliament. And that's the weakness of it. But corruption does run. I mean, if you deal with the standing of case, it's the same problem. Scopo wants to play because there's a fiduciary duty there. The money of PIC has been robbed. But we are going to a session tomorrow where we don't have much. We have to work with other committees. So it's not just you that I'm dragging the experience. The experience is there now. That corruption, there's an intertwine. But the laws of Parliament has not been able to allow that synergy to, or that relationship to be addressed. That's why I'm trying to caution the committee that let's not get ourselves into trouble with the way we're handling this particular, or drag IPT into trouble, and then we won't be able to defend you when the courts or individuals take you to court. But then it's going to be a problem. You see. Even the matter of service providers. I'm telling you now, just in the stain of case, took us to court as Parliament. Tomorrow will be so confined and guided by what they've agreed in the courts, not by what we know originally is the challenge. So the public in itself is getting more cleverer in how it deals with the issues that are coming from Parliament. But you do know, for a matter of fact, that there's no laws that give us the mandate we want to be able to deal with them in a particular way. So Tuesday tomorrow we're dealing with him, but in the confines of an agreement provided by the courts. So the courts do get involved in these matters. So I'm just saying, Scopa must be a little bit careful also in how we push you to break the law, you see. I know the issue of declassification.
All right.
We have tried ourselves. We've put our foot down. We've spoken to the general. But it became very problematic. It's a very problematic thing. Because there are laws that are guided to declassification, which we are not involved into. We are members of Parliament, but there's laws that are guiding General Sitoli in how he unleashed that particular report. It's either he goes to court or you go to court. The fight is better placed there than what parliamentarians could be able to do. So there's no, that's what I'm saying, I'm not sensitive. It's just that I'm learning. And stand-off case has given me more lessons of how shortfall or shortcut our own laws in dealing with issues of corruption. And that's my concern. And I don't want any one of us to, in eagerness, find himself in front of the courts because you've transgressed the laws that have been provided for. That's why I'm asking, have the present IP laws not been improved to accommodate the issues of corruption? But it's quite clear that where the police are and money is being chowed, where the fingers are, we will have to go together there. And we do need you to run with us. But the difficulty is that we don't have the law that provides that particular base. So we need to find a solution. We need to, as a chairperson, speak to the speaker and find out what can we do, or legal people inside Parliament, so that we don't go and sit in front of the courts justifying our relationship. That's what I'm concerned.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. If I might just deal with a matter that perhaps is important for the committee that we're before today, and that is, as Mr. Sokka has indicated, this litigation that has been ongoing between ourselves and SAPS and somewhere Pahlane and Kitikiti is costing the state a lot of money. because it is being funded from state coffers. And to date, we've spent about 4 million on the litigation. And as Mrs. Soko has mentioned, the costs were ordered against them, which means they have to pay for our costs. And like I said, this is coming from state coffers. So that is a cause for concern as well. Thank you, Chair.
No, that's fine. I think in the course of implementation, that's where areas of shortcomings emerge, and the question becomes, how do we deal with them? And it is good that in your presentation you are able to lift out those areas. So these are things that need to be. I mean, if the police and IPIT go to court, who pays? It is the state, the same state that pays for two organs of state to take each other to court. It's so unnecessary. But, well, that is the current situation. Comrade Kuno?
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with what my colleagues have said. I think we should have had this meeting together with the police. Can I go back? Sorry. General Stone, so that we can deal with the real matters and the root cause of the problem. But the Chairperson Okamamela, so yeah, to me, what I find as a problem is your scope. That's why you'll complain about your budget, you'll complain about a lot of things, and you'll complain about your legislation. You should know that we are, I mean, whatever that we do in parliament, in government, we are led by laws. But when I look at your scope, Chairperson, I think it's the one that makes it impossible for you to get enough budget. For instance, what kind of complaints can the IPIT receive? The IPIT can receive complaints about the serious cases of police misconduct and criminality. This includes any deaths of in police custody, deaths as a result, blah, blah. But your scope is not as huge. Because even if we can take this matter, let's say we're trying to help IPIT, but if you go to Treasury and say, but the money that you are giving IPIT is not enough for them to investigate the cases that they're supposed to be investigating. And then vis-a-vis your scope, it's a problem. So I don't know if you have any comment about that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think members will remember that IPIT was born out of ICD. And ICD had a much wider scope. To an extent that we received an overwhelming number of service delivery cases against the SAPS, which ate a lot out of our budget. So as part of the legislation for IPIT, the legislature was very conscious of that, to say maybe it would be prudent to sort of limit the scope or make it the scope very clear. And hence we have now Section 28 that you are referring to, which is very clear what are the matters, so that we don't go all over and investigate anything in anything, you know. So that scope was meant to say these are the things that you must confine yourself to. Being mindful also of Section 206 of the Constitution, which says we must investigate misconduct and criminality, and that is why you have Section 28(1)(h) that also enables the minister or the MEC or even the executive director to initiate investigation in particular matters that are not part of the other Section 28(1)(a)(2)(g). So that is the scope that Parliament thought would be more appropriate. The issue was then that it should then be also appropriately funded, you know. And that is the battle we'll continue to fight until we get the appropriate finding. I think I must hasten to say that even from the start of ICD, when we started as ICD, the funding was not adequate. We were supposed to have started with an establishment of 535 employees in 1997. We only had, we started I think with 30 employees, it went up to 100 or so. Even now, we're still below that number of 535. So the original scene was at establishment that we are not properly funded from establishment.
Thanks, Chairperson. In fact, he dealt with my second question, which was, according to your organogram, how many people do you have, and if you have any vacant posts, how many are those posts that are that should be filled? But looking at all that, who's dealing with your cases when it comes to money laundering, you know, corruption, when you talk about corruption, anybody, even Nkono somewhere, when you talk about corruption, they think of money being stolen. So who deals with that specifically when you look at your organogram? Maybe if you could pair that answer with what is the ideal organogram and how many do you have at the moment?
Within our structure, Program 2, which I'm heading, is responsible for investigation. So all investigation, including corruption investigation, as per that Section 28, is my program is responsible for dealing with that. So, but it must relate to allegations of corruption or any criminality by members of the SAPS. So if Nkono makes a complaint and it does not relate to, yeah.
Meaning, I was just making an example that when you talk about, sorry, Chairperson, when you talk about corruption, the first thing that comes into anybody's mind, even Nkono, corruption is money, it's about money. So I'm saying, who is investigating that?
Yes, as I've indicated, in our environment is Program 2, which is investigations. So it's responsible for all manners of investigation as per our mandate in Section 28.
So you're not outsourcing investigation, especially when it comes to money matters?
No, all investigations are done by ourselves. But what would happen if in specialized areas, for instance, where we need forensic investigators, where we don't have capacity, to do that kind of forensic, you know, to analyze bank statements and all that, then we'll get the services of forensic investigators. In our case, we then approach Treasury, who then appoint these service providers, as we've done in this particular investigation, and these service providers will do that work. That work actually supports our investigation.
More money from your coffers, but it's Treasury that pays that money on your behalf.
That is
because
correct.
They are the ones who are bringing those.
That is correct. It's taken care of by Treasury.
I agree with your legal person when she says that there are loopholes within your legislation. There are loopholes in terms of the legislation, and I think it's one of the things that we need to talk to. Yes, we're dealing with money matters, but we're also members of parliament because we make laws. And I know about the ICD when it changed to IPD. Fortunately, some of us were part of parliament. And I think these are some of the things that we need to look down and say, where did we go wrong and how can we correct that? But do you have systems in place to actually help you, like after you've investigated, nobody can come in and tap into your territory and actually cancel or sabotage the investigation that you would have started with?
Chairperson, currently we're using our own internal capabilities, like, you know, having people who inform us about these kind of things that happen. We don't have a dedicated unit that deal with that. Section 9N of the IPID Act makes provision for that, but also because of funding issues, we have not been able to establish a unit specifically dealing with that. It's part of our strategic documents that we should be able to establish that. It's part of our expansion strategy, which is not funded. So it all boils down again to funding. Once we have funding for these, then these are the things that we can establish.
Chairperson, of what I'm talking about exactly. You are not only investigating police within the police only, but also municipal police. So whatever cases that you'll be investigating from all spheres that you'll be investigating, do you have a system that you have as IPID that actually can gather information together and because whatever information that you'll be dealing with is a sensitive information because it actually deals with your colleagues that that you are working with to make sure that they don't sabotage what you've started. That's what I was trying to say.
Chairperson, all our cases are registered on a database. So we've got a database that deals with all the cases that we do. So when we receive a case, we've got a turnaround time within 72 hours, it must be registered. We are able to track the case through until its finality. And that is the database where we were able to extract statistical information that we report on to Parliament about the work that we do.
One of the loopholes that I want to speak to is your relationship with the prosecutors. Because I think that's what is taking you to court now and then. Because if the judge or the magistrate is not convinced with what you are saying, and somebody else can come in, that's what I was reading that Ren chairperson, technology, that Ren when I was trying to prepare my case. It's that if you have already come up with something and maybe I'm complaining about Psyche, and Psyche comes up with another evidence that actually contradicts what you have already come up with, then the magistrate can actually stop the case and try and help you or leave you, the two of you, to deal with the problem. So I'm saying, what is your relationship within the prosecutors? Because that relationship to me is very key. If that is not cemented enough, then it means that all your cases, which is what you said as you kept on, as you are presenting, you kept on saying that we should find a legislation that stops investigations when people are being investigated. But if the magistrate is not convinced, then it's a problem. So what is your relationship?
Generally, our relationship with prosecutors are good, but it's important to indicate that there are matters where we found the decisions of the prosecutors in those specific cases to be not correct, to put it mildly. We have had situations where a prosecutor, for instance, will work with the Mabula team with a view to deal with our investigators. So we have had those contradictions. I mean, we've had a situation where when we were suspended, we were charged with a criminal offense for merely making a recommendation based on our investigation. And I don't know if you have seen recently that the cases against General Dramati and General Spear are withdrawn. Now, the very people who are trying to prosecute us for saying we've done something wrong, they're actually now going with the very same recommendations that we have made. So, you know, you'll have those that deal with our matters in a particular manner, which we believe is not the right way of dealing with, but generally we've got good in the provinces, and we've got good relationship with the prosecutors.
That's request something that you should be concerned about and deal with it profoundly if you really are interested in solving your problems. But my last question will be, up to date, any successful case that investigations that you have made that people ended up in jail or wherever they are supposed to be, how many of those are there? And how long does it take you to investigate any case? How long does it take from what time to what time? More or less.
Chairperson, we've got different successes. I don't have the statistics with me here, but we can provide to the committee. We've got numerous convictions where people get five life sentences with lengthy custodial sentences and so forth. So we've got numerous of those. In relation to how long it takes to investigate a matter, it depends on each and every case because their complexities are not the same. So, for instance, your corruption investigation would be more complex. It will take a bit longer than, for instance, your assault case, for instance. So it will differ from one case to the other. And also, when these matters go to court, based on the complexities, but also understand that we're dealing with police officers who understand the criminal justice system. So our cases also tend to take longer on our control before they are finalized.
All right. I want us to wrap it up, and I want to appeal to comrades that let us deal with the reports in front of us, because going into general issues might not be very helpful. Comrade Keka. Okay, now let me hear you. Before I go to Comrade Keka, what do we think?
No, Chair. Mine is a follow-up on the discussion that we had that is in the last engagement with you and the police. We encouraged that is you and the police to try and work together. We understand that you are investigating the police. Obviously, there would be problems in terms of the relationship. In your view, has the relationship improved, that is, since our engagement?
Chairman, since our last engagement, we engaged with the National Commissioner. We agreed on a team to work together. Our team of investigators, the DPCI, and also some members of the SAPS are working with the team to assist us with the investigation. Obviously, there will be still contradictions based on our mandate, you know. But that has happened.
He's not answering the question. I'm saying, has it improved? Because all what you said, we understand the complexity of what you're doing. Because obviously, if you're investigating me, obviously at times I would hide information. But all what we said is, if there's information that you need that is from the police must avail that information. And there should be that relationship between, that is the two, let me say, organizations. In your view, has that improved?
Chairperson, it has improved. We do receive information, except for this one of classification. Yeah.
but you must be quite clear that in terms of the rule of law, you have to maintain your independence. And it's been a long fight, and it's not an easy fight. It's not going to change that nature of relations because the police are the ones that have to investigate. But what I wanted, Chair, was to ask the legal department, given that you want to continue assisting with the fight of money where we belong, you see, is to make a submission to SCOPA more, you know, in detail, how much does that relationship cost in the fight against corruption, and use the Kitten case so that SCOPA should rather help you to put pressure on Treasury and other committees to deal with this matter. I know it's a long-standing matter, and I know some of the views held by different government people, but make a submission to COPS. It is what we need to be able to help you about, how to increase your budget and enter that fight from where we sit at. You would know more better legally how things are standing, and write a motivational letter to us so that we can be able to pick it up and assist within our influence dealing with Treasury. Treasury is a very complex and a very difficult body. It's also the security structure. I mean, I know that the defense force is collapsing, and they care less about that. They've got their own attitude. They care less about the state security. So the security cluster is under pressure financially. But give the chair a letter that details that release so that we should all be saying that this new phenomenon on corruption, can the department be helped? Because the police budget is increasing day by day, and they are getting more corrupted by those type of things. But they've got enough money to take up anyway.
You?
You seem a bit worried about me today, Chief.
No. I'm struggling to get me worried about you.
I'm controversial.
No, you're not. You're less controversial. You're far from being controversial. I was merely looking at the other two comrades. No, I'm saying me. I'm responding to you so that impression must not linger that I was worried about. I was hesitant about giving you. You're far from being controversial. There's nothing controversial. Lengwa, did I see your hand up? No, it's only Comrade Kuno. That's what I wanted to verify. Yes.
Hey, I won't be long. And I'm speaking to the presentation.
Oh, sure.
Where you mentioned General Cruz. Are you aware... I see in your report that you're involved in the Namibian, you have a Namibian link to your investigation. Are you aware that of a company owned by General Cruiser in Namibia?
Yes, we are aware.
And you're aware that that same company provides Rofin products to the Namibian police?
Yes, we are aware.
Okay. So then I'm sure you realize the link there.
We're looking into that.
Okay,
as was indicated, our team was in Namibia. That was part of the investigation.
Right, that's good to know. Then just quickly, Chair, just a quick comment. If we do end up in the Constitutional Court, Parliament will end up in the Constitutional Court, because the National Assembly rules 2451C says that SCOPA may initiate any investigation in its area of competence. So if we stick to public accounts, we're okay. And I don't think we'll end up in any courts being sued by anyone, as far as I know. But I just wanted to put that in there. Maybe ease my comrade's mind. Thanks, cheers.
Okay, Comrade Kuno.
Thanks, Chairperson. You know... My problem is that you are investigating and you say you do have victory good stories to tell, because that's what we are interested in as COPPA, to actually say that this criminal, you've been, you know, following them up to the stage when they had five life sentences, which is good. And we want to see more of that. But, you know, when you start by saying allegation of corrupt relation, allegation does not mean you are sure of your story. That is in page 2 of your presentation. To an extent that, he's not there, you know, he's not doing his, I mean, he has been fired. And my problem is that allegation of corrupt relation between Pahlani and FDA, that, you know, when you have reports like that, it becomes a it says that I'm not sure, but yet there's been an allegation that this person has done ABCD. To an extent of putting money in the monetary values, the 95 billion rands, the 96 billion million rands, let me start there. The allegation part, why is it allegation? Why have you not that used another word, maybe?
Chairperson, we are an investigative body. Until such time that these matters are proven in court, they remain allegations. So we cannot say people have committed these offenses as a matter of fact until they are proven in court. So we investigate, we gather evidence, and then we present the evidence to the prosecuting authority. The prosecuting authority, as we investigate them, they are suspects. Once the prosecuting authority decide to prosecute, they become accused persons in the court of law. Once the court of law finds them guilty, then it's a different story altogether. You cannot say it's an allegation. It's now proven. But as long as we're still investigating, we can only say it's allegations.
I'm just suggesting that maybe next time, as part of saying allegation, this is how far you are in terms of investigating that particular case. Because when it comes to us, it actually says, I've used public funds for me to investigate Pahlani. Because at the end of the day, I don't like what Pahlani does at all. And I don't think there's anyone here who likes what Pahlani has done. But the problem is when we do not have facts and somebody lost their job, because it can go on and on and on and on. I'm not saying it's not like we don't have facts. I'm just saying next time maybe you should do a better reporting. But again, the one that has chemicals and house and Pahlani and vehicles, that Keith received billions of rent for oversupply of forensic equipment, maintenance and support of equipment under warranty. You do have facts about this, and is it possible that as a committee we can get a report? I'll tell you why I'm saying that. There was a stage, was it in December, after our investigation? I think it was in December, because we've had so many holidays. So every time we come back, it feels like it's December. So I might be wrong about December. Where Keith actually said, I'm not going to give my service to government. I will hold my services. And if Keith has got, I mean, he received billions of rents over supply of, I mean, this on its own, it's a big thing. Do we have a report that you can give to us so that we make sure? Because, you know, this blacklisting, it becomes a problem. I don't know what is happening. And maybe, couple whatever I'm saying with the anti-corruption task team. That I think whoever came up with the idea was a good idea of actually saying, I, as IPID, can go up to a certain level, but you can carry on from this level to another level. Because at the end of the day, we want to see consequences. We want to see people in jail. We want to see corrupt companies being blacklisted and don't do any business with the state at all. But instead of them being blacklisted, they can actually say, I'm going to make sure that I'm not giving you this because I want to punish the state. And it's not only the police that are suffering, but the whole country suffers as well. So I'm just saying that my question is that, do you have this kind of report so that we can deal with that and take it further? And maybe, Chairperson, a suggestion that was said by Comrade Shilwane earlier, if we could have another bite, not only with IPED, but also with the general, so that some of these questions and the declassification and everything, we can get into the last point and actually say we have really done what we're supposed to do as COPPA.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I think we've indicated that we've made recommendations to the SAPS in relation to our investigation on General Phahlane kicking matters. He's undergoing a disciplinary action as a result of that. Okay. In relation to the issues of blacklisting, we would have expected that SAPS, as people who have contracted this service provider, would then blacklist, also based on their own internal investigation to show that there were, in fact, wrongdoings that happened by their officials, including the service provider. So we'd have expected that they then initiate the process of blacklisting with the treasury. So we've just heard that Keating has just got another contract despite all these investigations. So it's something that we'll also follow on.
Shows it clearly that there are still people, his syndicates are still part of the police. And if we do not get into the bottom of the last person who starts by signing a small thing to an extent of, building up into a proper contract, if we do not deal with that, then it's going to be a problem. You have used public funds for you to investigate that. That's what I'm saying. I think as COPPA, we deserve to get that report and deal with it. Maybe it's like Tucson, So let's deal with that. If you could give us that report, and then we deal with the details of the report.
All right. No, it's fine. I think, comrades, we still have to meet with the SAPS to get the report of their own investigation. Because remember, when CETA was investigating, the police were also doing their own investigation that deals with some of the matters that have been reported on. So let's make time. I think that part will then complete the picture for us. I think we should bring this engagement to a close. And thank IPED for the report, especially in relation to some of the matters that will actually feature when we meet with the police. Because especially in relation to internal disciplinary processes, that is completely in the hands of the SAPS. It is for them to do the internal disciplinary processes. They must deal with the criminal investigation now that there is that link. But thanks very much. We'll be happy to, if there's anything to add beyond what is here in relation to some of the loopholes that you need tightened up in your legislation to enable you to do a better and quicker job. So much for the better. Well, comrades, tomorrow it's staying off. We'll meet there. Thanks very much. SABC.
We're supposed to meet SAA in 3 weeks. How far are we? When are we going to meet them?
Let's talk offline.
Okay.
Your Honour,